This is Harry Pearson, and welcome to ArtCast. ArtCast is a panel-style discussion podcast featuring panel members from inside and outside Microsoft as they discuss and debate architectural topics. Each month, we'll feature a new topic and new panelists, and we will post their ongoing discussions weekly. For more information, please visit the Architecture Resource Center at microsoft.com/architecture. This week, we continue with our ArtCast on interoperability standards. The discussion ranges over the evolution of these standards, the importance of tool and platform support, and the role of the Web Services Interoperability Organization.
Hi, this is Michelle LaRue-Bustamante again. I'm listening to the other panelists' comments, and a lot of things come to mind just discussing the whole issue of not only interoperability, but possibilities for adoption of the emerging standards. And a couple of things to mention. Chris Haddad makes a good point that we do need agreement in each of the categories, security, routing, attachments, reliable messaging, transactions. We do need to have agreement across the vendors, and of course in the standards body, having it approved helps. Routing and referral are a perfect example, though, something that was never really ratified. Therefore, I don't know that we can really discuss that as a failure. It was sort of an evolution that led to addressing, and addressing is the resting place of the agreed-upon standard. So I think that, you know, it's good that we had tools to work with routing and referral, to play with it, to learn what we liked, what we didn't like, but, of course, until everybody agrees, it doesn't really become ratified in that case. When we talk about attachments, that's a bit of a different story because we have SOAP with attachments, which was actually at least a W3C note, although not a recommendation, and WSI implemented a profile. So you would argue that we have some level of industry momentum behind it, and yet there are some vendors like Microsoft that don't implement it. So what does that mean? What does it all come to? Well, they had their eye on the future of SWA, which was, you know, even beyond Dime, and therefore they're not going to put effort into going back to SWA. But I would argue that there are implementations through extensibility for SWA for the Microsoft platform. So you can have interop. You just have to, you know, get a separate tool that you add in to the plumbing. So what this all means to me, I guess, is that we can't really get there without tools to try it out early, get feedback from developers, give it a shot. We can't really, ignore the works in progress if we want to stay competitive. So vendors have to look at the early adopted or early unadopted standards. And, you know, of course, when they become ratified, we need to be ready to pounce on that and deliver. So that's what I see happening in the industry, and I would argue that we need that. When we think about how to get there, workshops is a great way to do so. Jeffrey mentioned the workshops, and of course that's great because it brings in people outside of vendors, but that's a nasty place to be, of course, because there's lots of disagreements, lots of different agendas. Not everybody agrees. I've been on committees for building standards for the insurance industry, and it's very difficult to get everybody on the same page. But eventually you do find a place where you can have a level of extensibility and yet also have a base set that everybody does agree on. And that's where we need. So I think that WSI can make a big difference by helping us profile these things early on.
Hi, this is Chris again. Michelle does have a very good point. Interoperability is a work in progress. Like airport construction, the build-out won't end because the industry is constantly learning from experiences and improving the infrastructure, APIs, and other wire protocols. However, progress, such as what Michelle has mentioned, quickly dates deployed technologies and creates a mixed environment leading to interoperability challenges between the old and new. Mediation frameworks that provide network protocol, data format, and security mediation are an important piece of the architectural puzzle. Ultimately, the mediation frameworks will provide an interoperability layer capable of self-discovering endpoint policies and seamlessly bridging between semantically compatible systems.
Hi, this is Jeff. I'm sure Chris isn't suggesting we use only old protocols, especially if they have security flaws and we know how to fix them. But I am intrigued by how platforms are detecting whether a particular service is using old versus new infrastructure protocols. It looks pretty simple when a developer does an add web reference. and the necessary magic seems passé today. Of course, the key to such miraculous generation of a client has to be metadata. That is, data about message formats, exchanges, and infrastructure protocols supported by the service. Metadata is the place in the architecture where we've had reasonable success and have a strong story going forward, too. To date, there's extremely broad adoption of XML Schema and WSDL, even though the WSI hasn't tried any sleight of hand with the former and only wrote down what people had already been doing with the latter. I'll be polite and not mention RPC literal. Up next in metadata is surely WS policy, which provides a clean way to indicate the capabilities and requirements of a service. Policy bolsters a typically weak place in WSDL, the binding, by providing a way to indicate consistent combinations of infrastructure protocols and other interoperable settings. It's so easy to define an assertion to indicate that a specific version of a protocol is in use, whether old or new, and then group such assertions together to reveal configurations supported by a service. Hey, I know, WS policy hasn't been finalized. I don't like the delay either, but I also don't want to repeat the WSDL experience, where we got good adoption only after working through a lot of confusion in the spec. Here's some good news. It's not a well-kept secret, but there are public interop endpoints that demonstrate how to manipulate WS policy expressions, including converting to a normal form and comparing two policies for compatibility. When we've got this pin in place, tooling will be able to generate clients for both simple and advanced services, and customers will be that much closer to seamless interop.
This is Roger again. One of the dangers of this podcast is that end users might actually take this conversation too seriously. It is true that there are more web service standards than flies in June, and it's also true that many of them are in a state of flux. But actually, little of this directly impacts end users. Why not? Because end users won't be using any of the web service standards. Unlike CORBA or J2EE, the web service standards are not about how one application communicates with another application. They are instead about how one vendor's infrastructure communicates with another vendor's infrastructure. So end users shouldn't be asking questions such as, does Microsoft support WS Secure Conversations? End users should be asking questions like, how do I get my .NET application to work with my WebSphere application? What are my security options? How reliable is the messaging? How will failures be handled? How IBM and Microsoft accomplish this is not your problem. They could be using WS Security, or they could be using highly trained mice. It doesn't really matter to you. In fact, if you do need to understand anything about the web server specifications to do your job, then I would say your vendor hasn't done a very good job with its tools. Good tools do not make it possible for you to program web service APIs. Good tools make it unnecessary for you to know anything about them. From an end user's perspective, the real question is not what is the state of this standard or that standard, but the architectural possibilities that deep interoperability opens up for the enterprise.
Thanks for listening. I'm the host of ArtCast, Harry Pearson. Don't forget the conversation continues next week, so tune in.